this morning. And so I got up early and I had to be over here by 9 o'clock. Had an appointment here at the church. So I got up and sketched myself some notes. What I felt like was on my heart. Then I thought, well, at lunchtime I'll sit back down and do some more notes, and I did. And then I thought, well, by the afternoon I'll finish up writing my scratchy notes. And then I had to be called away for another appointment. So you're going to get the scratchy note outline tonight. But I'm not scared because it's in my heart. When it's in your heart, most of the time you don't even need an outline. You just study and God will do the rest. Years ago, there was a song. I don't know if they're any kin to you, Betty Johnson. But I think the name of it was Charles Johnson and the Revivers. I don't know if that's any of your family or not. And I'm not being funny, but I'm just... They're a black quartet group years ago. They what? They could sing good. Does anybody remember one of their popular songs? Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountains too high, valleys too wide. And then it says, down on my knees is where I learned to stand. Cause Lord, I can't even walk without holding your hand. Now early in the morning, as I've already told you, I don't know what time it was. I didn't look the clock. But that's what came to my heart for this service tonight. Lord, I can't even walk without holding your hand. So I want to talk to you for the next little bit on a simple subject, holding God's hand. Luke chapter number 12 is where my mind went to. Luke chapter number 12, if you have a Bible, you can turn there. I feel like I'm going to plow corn tonight. I feel like I'm on some fallow ground. I'm going to have to bust up some hard ground here tonight. But you can't never plant no seed if you don't bust up the hard ground. Amen. I think that this message that I'm going to share with you this evening is relevant. I think it's important. I think that we need to hear it. It may not be for everybody, but maybe it's for somebody. Maybe it's for the preacher. Maybe it's for the pew. But regardless, it's in the Bible. And in the book of Luke, chapter number 12, verse number 13. And let me find it, because I've been reading out of different Bibles today, and I want to make sure I have the right one in front of me. Verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns, build greater, and there will I bestow all of my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Verse 21, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Father, we thank you tonight. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that when we come to your house, and God, when you lay a message on my heart, as you've laid this one on my heart, Father, I know that it is for the church. I know it's for us. It's for me. It's for your people. I pray, Father God, that you would help us to understand and separate and apply what is you're saying to us tonight, Father. And Lord, I thank you, God, that you tell us in the Word, even throughout the book of Revelation, you said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. So, Father, we pray, God, you speak to us tonight, Father. Help us, God, to make adjustments. Help us, God, to do the things that we need to do and to do it according to your plan. And Father, I thank you, Lord, and I praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I think one of the, and I don't say this in a cussing way, so don't nobody say that the preacher cussed in the pulpit. But one of the damning things to our soul is for you to tell your soul is not important. The world, when we look at the soul, the world today, we can see that men are not really taking their soul into account. We look at young people, we look at older people, we look at people all around the world today. And one by one, by the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, men are condemning and men are damning their own soul to eternal hell. I don't know about you, but I think I know about you. I believe everybody in the building is saved. You have loved ones that's not saved. I have loved ones that's not saved. When we begin to look at this man's life, it is a portrait. Again, when you go back into the study of this, and Jesus is very plain in what Jesus meant here. Jesus, again, he's talking in allegory, and he's talking between the Jew and the Gentile, and how that the Jew was rich, and the Pharisee, they were rich, and how that they would make division, if you will, among who was right with God and who was not right with God. So Jesus, again, when you begin to look at this, Jesus himself drew a parallel in this scripture between a man who took concern about his own soul. Jesus at one time even talked to the individuals in this writing this to them, because the man had actually said, go to my brother and speak to my brother that he would divide his inheritance with me, the Jew, the Gentile. And Jesus, again, he talked about this in verse number 14, where that he said, am I an arbitrator between you and your brother? Again, when you think about the scripture, it makes us understand that every man, woman, boy, and girl, under the sound of my voice and listening, I believe this is a very important message for a lot of reasons, but one of the first things is simply this, that you are responsible for your own soul's destiny. You can never point to anybody else and say, I'm in hell today because of this or because of that. Because somebody sung me, somebody done me wrong song. And every person has a choice in their own life as to whether or not they will spend eternity in heaven or in hell. This man, when he began to write this message, and when Jesus began to tell the parable and the message came to this man, there are several things that began to get my attention. First of all, when the scripture there in verse number 19 is simply where that he told his soul to just take it easy. I have everything that I need. I don't have no need of anything. I'm self-sufficient. I'm independent. I don't need anybody. I don't need anything from anybody. I thought about this, and I thought that even reading in commentary and reading different things throughout my day, I was noticing several things that was written. First of all, this man, nowhere in the scripture, according to commentary, nowhere in the scripture tells us that this man was wicked. Nowhere. Nowhere in the text did this man tell us that he was a vile person. Nowhere in this text did this text tell us that he was an alcoholic or any other thing like so many in our world today that we think about a morally good person. Now, let me step off the outline a minute. One of the saddest things about hell is there are going to be good people that went to hell because they didn't get their heart right with God. Now, that's not in my outline. I just had to put that in there. But we think about this man. Commentary said that, no doubt, and this man was a hard worker. You don't get anywhere in life unless you work hard. Come on, somebody. You got to work at it. He was blessed. No doubt he had barns. No doubt he had goods. No doubt he had plenty. He was blessed. You can be blessed and be lost. You can look as if you have all the world's goods and be lost. Again, when you think about this man, there's an ideology that he was a very intelligent man. Building barns, construction business. He was a farmer. He had all the goods. He had plenty. He was wise enough to be a prepper. What are you talking about? He prepared for his future. He laid up goods. He stored up goods. His life, when you think about it, no doubt in my mind here, that his life came to this place in his life where the thing that began to eat at him the most, and I had to read my own writing there. I got in too big of a hurry. Watch this. This is very important. When this man got to this point in his life, the biggest fear in this man's life, watch this, was the loss of his stuff. He was afraid that he was going to lose everything he had worked for all of his life, his stuff. He was concerned about everything that he had obtained in this life. Now let me go on record as to say that there's nothing wrong with having a good, healthy self-esteem. Hello? There's nothing wrong with having a good self-portrait of yourself. There's nothing wrong with carrying yourself in integrity and moral standards today. And it is not egotistical to carry yourself well. I've tried hard. I have faltered along the journey. through many dangers, pulls, and snares, I still have a moral consciousness about myself to do the moral thing and the right thing and the correct thing without it being egotistical. Like, look at me, being filled with some sort of unhealthy pride, if you will, or some type of misplaced pride, if you will. But when you look at this man, you look at him as being self-supportive. Nothing wrong with that. We need to be self-supportive. There's nothing wrong with self-helps. I said to myself, he talked to himself. I don't know if any of you ever catch yourself doing that. I got to tell you something funny that's off the record. Hey, I was in the back in our bedroom yesterday coming through there, and Sherry's in the front room, and I was actually singing. I don't remember what I was singing. She said, are you in there talking to yourself? I said, no, I was singing. She said, what was you singing? I don't remember what. I thought to myself, I ain't got to that point yet where I'm talking to myself. You know what I mean? But I do talk to myself. I just don't listen to myself when I answer every now and then. But yet self-empowerment. I also thought about a codependency, if you will. We don't have time to get into that right now. This man had some unhealthy habits in his life. And we'll talk about a few of those this evening. First thing I began to think about is found here in the scripture. When we begin to read verse number 16 and we pick it up, we can see again where that the Bible says the ground of the certain rich man brought forth plentifully. We've already talked about that. He had plenty. He was well blessed, etc. Verse 17 is where he got in trouble. Because he became, watch this, more dependent upon his own ability, and he didn't hold on to God's hand. It's not wrong to have stuff. But it could be wrong for stuff to have you. It's not wrong to have stuff, but it could be wrong to have stuff without God. Hello? The thing I'm trying to frame in this is simply this. We've got to have God. We've got to hold on to God. In verse 17, this is what this man began to say. There is, watch this, this is really cute because when I studied through this, a different reading and a different Bible I was reading out of, it had the dangers of the five I's and a Y, or a we, himself. I'll get to that in a minute. Verse 17, he said, and he thought within himself, saying, excuse me, I said that totally wrong. The five I's and a my. That was what, not a we, but a my. I'll get it. I hope I'm not boring you guys this evening. This will really be good if we get a hold of it. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? What can I do? Because I have no room to bestow, there's the my stuff or my fruits. What shall I do? Because I have no room. Two things I thought about there. One is, when Jesus was born, Jesus didn't have no room in the heart. He was no room in the manger. He had no room. So we've got to make room for him today. Come on, somebody. When we begin to look at Jesus, when we begin to look at this in verse 17, and he thought within himself, what shall I do? What shall I do to improve this situation? What shall I do to improve myself? And there's really nothing wrong with that, but in this particular situation, commentary began to tell us that it was a portrait of the selfishness of man and the selflessness of man. Say that three times, tongue twister. It was the selfishness of man that was Jesus was trying to teach them in this story. So many times people in our society today, they'll almost cuss you. And I did say that word. If you mention the name of Jesus, because so many people today, they don't want you to talk to them about Jesus. Because too many in our society today is filled up with self-sufficiency. Because I did this on my own. And if anybody's going to get any credit for it, I'm going to get the credit because I did it. This commentary talked about the first thing you've seen in this man's life was the problem with selfishness. Because when you look at this, he says, I have no room to bestow my fruits. No doubt his barn had overflowed. No doubt his barn had gotten so full that of his stuff that he had absolutely no more room for his stuff. Isn't it amazing today how we get so full of other things? We get our hearts filled with stuff. We get our lives filled with stuff. You know why people are not in this building tonight? Because the stuff they're filled with is to them more important than coming to God's house. And it is a sad scenario. I try to be good to people. I try not to ever be preachy and pointing at people and growling my nose and looking down at people. And I try not to ever do that. But I hurt. I get upset. I get upset because people are looking for any reason not to come to church. You say, well, preacher, don't take it out on us because we're here. Thank you for being here. But it is the truth, because they are saying to their soul today, soul, take it easy. I'll make God an important part of my world tomorrow. But today, I'm going to eat, I'm going to drink, I'm going to be merry, I'm going to go party, I'm going to go to the show, I'm going to go here, I'm going to go there, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Oh, God understands. He's a good God and He's a God of grace. God don't care. I told you I was going to try to be good. I'm trying to keep myself calm. But God does care. God does care. The revival that happened and this is another message, the revival that happened in the book of Acts, it happened when the church came together. And then they went out. If we as a church can ever get together on revival, we can have revival. But we've all got to come into one mind and one accord, and we've got to be together with it. And I'll leave part of that for another time. But he didn't have room for God because he was worried about room for his stuff. Moving on forward. Then he says, the first one, then he said, I have no room. And then he says, my. He was very introverted. He looked upon his own goods, and did not look upon the goods of others. Now I know, and Brother Scott will probably mention it on Sunday, but let me tell you in a nutshell what it says. The Bible says if you have the goods of the world, and you know those that do not have the goods of the world, and you do not share those goods with them, then you are just hoarding it all up to yourself, and you're really benefiting nobody at all. I didn't say that. James says that. James says that plain and simple. He said if there's a person that comes in among you and he's wearing a goodly ring or a golden ring, it's not about a ring being wrong to wear. I think it's the mindset and the pride that could go behind that. And then we say, set ye here. And then we see a poor man come in. And you say, oh no, you can't sit there. That's for the really important people. You have to sit back here somewhere way back over in the corner. You know, James says that. We have to be careful in the day and the hour that we're living in that we don't become like this man was. He was rich. He had plenty. And when you look at this, there's another a story in the scripture, and Jesus confronted this several times throughout the Bible. Another part of the story that we want to read to you this evening is simply found here in the book of Mark, chapter number 10. We see there's 10 verses that this is part of, and it is actually picks up in verse 17. A story of the young rich ruler. I'm not going to take the time to read all of it, but I'm just simply going to tell you what it says in a nutshell. Because this young rich ruler, picking up in 17, all the way down through verse number 27, he came to Jesus and he asked him, he said, "What good thing can I do? What good thing can I do?" It says it right there in the scripture. And he says, and he kneels at his feet. He says, "What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus again, he confronts him, "Why callest me thou good? There's none good but God." And he tells him, he says, "Don't commit adultery, don't kill, don't steal, don't bear false witness, don't defraud one another, honor your father and your mother." And he says, "All these things I've done from my youth up." That's just a paraphrase of that. And Jesus said, if you're really going to follow me, and if you're really going to have treasure in heaven, in verse 21, he said, you're going to have to liquidate your assets. That's what he says in a nutshell. He says, and you're going to have to take what you have and give to the poor. My goodness gracious, we don't like hearing messages like that. We don't like to hear it. It wasn't about him taking what he had and giving everything he had away. It was about a position of his heart. God, I'm willing to do whatever I've got to do. I just want to be a part of your kingdom. I don't want to let go of your hand, God. And in this, Jesus again told him, he said, you've got to pick up your cross and follow me. But we don't like that. We like the church of ease today in the society. We don't like a church that costs us anything, or we don't want a religion that'll cost us anything. We don't want to do none of that. It's going to cost you everything to serve God. It's not yours. Everything you have, if you're really sold out to God, is His. All of it. Hitch and all. It's all His. You say, "Preacher, we hadn't heard you preach like this in a long time." It's time that we get back and we let God be God and let Him be the one in the driver's seat. Somebody says, "God is my co-pilot." Hey, if God is your co-pilot, you're in the wrong seat. God's the pilot. Come on, somebody. We're riding with Him. Come on now. Hello? When we look at this evening, we see where Jesus is this young rich ruler, where again that Jesus told him, he said, "Take up your cross and follow me." Verse 22 says this. It says, and he was sad. He was downcast. He was grieved, the Bible said, for he had great possessions. And again, Jesus taught this, and he again looked around and about and saith unto him, let me just say something. Time out. Let me say something. God don't want you broke, busted, and disgusted. God don't want you bankrupt. God don't want you on poverty. That's not what this is saying. God wants you to be blessed, and God wants you to be the head and not the tail. God wants you to be in favor, and God wants you to have plenty. But this young man could not be trusted with plenty, because just like the other guy, he hoarded it to himself, and he was not willing to do with it what God told him to do with it. Jesus comes back in 29 and he said, how hardly it is for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than a rich man to get into heaven. Why is that? It's simply because of the same thing that this prosperous farmer said. Because it was the young rich ruler that Jesus confronted. And when he confronted him there, when you look at this verse, look at this. And Jesus said, how hardly shall they have the riches enter into the kingdom of God. Now I'm gonna be ugly for a minute. Because I have met people on both sides of the spectrum. But I'm gonna tell you something, friend. On judgment day, it's not about how much you got or how much you don't have. Okay, it's not about that. As I read through this again, it was the attitude of the heart. It was the disposition of the man's heart. When you look at the scripture again, He said, I will do this right here. I will pull down my barns and I will build greater barns. And there I will bestow all of my goods. Can I tell you, according to the scripture, in the book of Mark, once again, where we're looking in chapter 8, verse 36 through 38. And again, there's another solemn warning in there of what Jesus said. Folks, if there's anything that the church must give attention to, is we need to be really, really careful not to have church without God. We got to hold on to His hand. Again, when Jesus dealt with this in Mark 8, He says, just like this poor rich ruler, this young man, and I'll get to that in a second, this young man, this young rich ruler, and this prosperous farmer here, it says, in commentary, it wrote this line, and I liked it, and I wrote it down. It said, in death, he became poor because he lost his soul. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Verse 36. I can't believe it's already what time it is. Verse 37, watch this, go. I got to hurry. He said, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, I know I'm not preaching hard and I'm not running and I'm not swinging from the chandeliers tonight, but I want to ask us that last verse, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I've said it before and I'll say it again. What is so important about hell or in hell? I know this is the saints on Wednesday night, but maybe somebody somewhere will hear this one day and they'll hear what I'm saying and maybe it'll change their life. I'm not just talking to you now. We got a world wide web. This thing goes all around the world. I don't know where it ends up. I have no clue. But the question that I've asked before and I'll continue to ask it in, what is so important in hell that people are willing to die and go there for? They have a deluded vision. They have the devil has come and the devil has confused their mind and the devil has destroyed their mind today and they think that they're going to go to hell and party with their friends. I've heard people say that. Jesus don't describe hell that way. He describes hell as a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. And there are those today that'll cuss you and holler at you and scream at you and say that you still believe that stupid old book. It's outdated. It's antiquated. And there are people today that they just assume not even put any confidence at all in the Bible today. They'd rather read the New York Times. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. One of these days, they may think it's a fairy tale. They may think it's all just a big joke. But there came a day in this man's life that he would have wished that he had held to the hand of God. Let me wrap this up here in just a few minutes. I didn't say yet, but in a few minutes. This is the thing. Because he said again, verse 38, this is what he says in the scripture. He says in the next verse, that whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words, in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Jesus said that. Alan didn't say that. Jesus said that. Again, this man, when he began to look at the scripture, we began to see what he said. He said, I will continue to prosper. I will continue to do what I want to do. I will continue to do what I've always done without giving any reflection on the condition of my soul. And then he tells us in verse 19, he says, I will say to my soul, the soul, the immaterial part of who you are, We talk about body, we talk about soul, we talk about spirit. From my understanding, the soul is where the intellect is. That's where the mind is. That's where your emotion is. That spirit man, that's where your will is too. Thank you. And that's where the spirit man is, the part of that will spend all eternity in heaven. You're responsible for your own soul's destiny. You're responsible. I'm responsible for my own spirit man. Whether my spirit man is going to spend eternity in heaven or spend eternity in hell. Again, I'm trying to hurry, but let me just walk through this because, again, there was a reflection and there was my mind went back to, again, just a overview of this in Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. It's where Jesus once again talked about a rich man that fared sumptuously every day. Jesus is not against rich men. He was trying to get them to get their heart right with Him. There'll be rich men in hell. There'll be beggars there. There'll be all kinds of souls in hell. There'll be all kinds of people there. It's not just one or the other. And it's not just one gender. It's not just one race. There'll be all kinds of people there. One ethnicity, if you will. And folks, I don't want to be there. I don't want the church to be there. I don't want you to be there. And again, let me just get back on my soap dish for a minute. Because I hardly ever say anything. I rarely ever say anything. But I'm going to say it tonight. And for some that might be watching online, I don't mean to offend you. If I step on your toes, I'm sorry. I meant to step on your heart. I heard Eljoy say that one time. I'm going to say it. If I make somebody mad, they can blame Steve. He's grinning at me. I think it's an indictment against the church when you can have a house almost full on Sunday morning and that right there on Sunday night and a Wednesday night. People don't have their priorities in order. Pastors have shut churches down because it's hard, it's laborious, they feel defeated, they feel like, what's the use? If the people don't care, why should I care? And I'm going to tell you, it grieves my heart. And I try not to ever say nothing. I try to just keep smiling and I try to just keep feeling good about it. But folks, he said to his soul, this whole story, you know the story about Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus was down there eating crumbs. Moreover, the dogs came, licked his sores. And all the time, this man was reared back eating grapes. All the time, he was reared back taking it easy. We got a world right now that's in trouble, Brother Sparks. You've heard it said, and I've said it, and I'll say it again. This world's going to hell in a handcart. They don't even know it. The devil has blinded their eyes, and church people's eyes are blind too. Church people's eyes are blind too. Woke up early this morning with this on my heart. Hold on to the hand of God. Don't let go. You know what they tell me, and I hope I don't ever experience this. They tell me if you jump in to try to save a drowning man, that your chances of drowning is just like theirs, because they'll get a hold of you and they won't let you go because they're fighting for everything within them to save their life. I wish we could get a hold of God like that. If we could just get a hold of God, say, God, I've got to hold on to you. I won't let you go till you bless me. I won't let you go, God. And he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and he walked with a limp the rest of his life to remind him of the experience that he had with God. And God, give us that experience tonight where, God, we want to hold on to you. Let me hurry through this real fast. I've got a little bit more. Just a little bit. You know the story about the rich man and hell, he lifted up his eyes. Penny, if you'll come for me. Verse 19 was the most detriment of his whole story. Not only did he say, I will do this and I will do that and I will do that. He took control of his own life's destiny by simply telling his own soul, I will say to my soul, you've got everything you need. You need nothing from nobody. But he forgot that he would have to give an account for his soul. He said, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take it easy. Take it easy. I don't know if you've ever felt that way about your spirit, man. But there's something inside of me that longs for God. I can't tell my soul, soul, you got to this level in life. It's not important now. Just, you got it made. You got a church. You got a salary. Got a car. Got a house. You got people that love you, people that care for you. This is the attitude of the world, brother Wes. Just go. Got it made. Got it made. And how many people feel that way? When you look at this, the rest of this verse, the Bible says this in verse 20. He says, eat, drink, and be merry. He said, but God said unto him, now look at this. Commentary pointed this out. He says that, and God said to him, now this is the country boy lingo. You fool. Jesus said, thou fool. He called him a fool. I thought you're not supposed to call no man a fool. Because if you do, you'll be in danger of hellfire. God called this man a fool. Fool, if you look at that, and I guess when you look at that, it's emptiness. Empty, barren, empty-headed, if you will. He said, man, you ain't even thinking right. You're not even thinking the way you need to be thinking. He said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. If you had to die tonight, where would you be tomorrow? We always answer heaven. You ask most of the people that you talk to in Walmart, are you a Christian? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I got saved at Vacation Bible School when I was 5 years old. Well, what's that right there doing in your buggy? Oh, that's okay. God's got it. Oh, Tom Foolery's done got a hold of them. You say, well, you're just meddling. And you're just, no, this is the reality, folks. This is the reality that the devil has sown into the lives of people. God don't care. God, me and God's like that right there. God is my buddy. And go and do whatever they want to do, anytime they want to do it, and forsake not the assembling of yourselves together at the house of God, so much the more as you see the day coming. Book of Hebrews 10:25, I think, long through there. God says go to church. I know you're here, praise God. I mean, I'm preaching to y'all and y'all are here. Those that wasn't here Sunday morning, tell them God preached on every one of y'all because God, preacher preached because you wasn't here Sunday morning. He hit every one of you. I hope this has helped us. Make your soul a priority. Here's a few scriptures. Again, I'm not going to read these. I just want you to write them down real fast somewhere. Store up in heaven. What are you storing up in heaven? You're storing your prayers. You're storing your tears. You're rewarded for your works. This man that thought he was rich became poor in a single day. This night thy soul will be required of thee. Job lost all that he had, but Job never left God. Come on, somebody. And God never left him. All the wealth, all earthly wealth is temporary. And ultimately, at the end of the day, watch this, worthless. I know you've heard it said, and I'll say it again. The old cliche, the old thing says, well, I've never, when you die, you ain't taking nothing with you because I ain't never seen no hearse pulling a U-Haul. Well, actually, I have, but it didn't belong to a funeral home. But you're not taking anything with you when you go. So don't make it your whole life is absorbed in it. What will we be in heaven? Jesus said, store up your riches in heaven. Store up your things in heaven where moth doth not eat holes in it and rust don't come and eat its way into it. But where your heart is. Where your heart is, there's your treasure. Says that in Matthew 6. Timothy mentions the same thing. He talks about, and I kind of want to read this one. I hope you got a minute. 1 Timothy, because to be honest with you, I've never thought about the scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And this is actually what it says in verse number 6. He says, but goodliness with contentment is gain. Goodliness with contentment is gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. I didn't write that. Paul wrote that to young Timothy. Why? Because Paul understood telling Timothy, you better keep your priorities in order, boy. That's my language to Timothy, Paul. You better keep your priorities straight. You didn't bring nothing in, you're not taking nothing out. That's what he said. But your soul. I want you to stand with me. I got 10,000 more things I could talk about. I think you got the picture. Wednesday night, service of the saints. Service time with the saints. The saved, the sanctified, the Holy Ghost filled, and those that's on fire for God. Don't even make sense to preach a message like I preach tonight to a Wednesday night crowd that's full of the Holy Ghost and fire. Don't even make sense to me. Think, God, why do I preach what I preach? Because them people have been saved longer than I've been alive, most of them. They know more about the Bible than I do. Why do I need to tell them anything? Every now and then, somebody might slip in under the radar. Every now and then. And they may need to hear what I have to say, or Brother West on a Wednesday night, or whoever's preaching. And the two things I'm going to leave with you is, do not neglect your soul. And how do I not neglect my soul? As you hold on to the unchanging hand of God. Be like the man that built his house upon the rock. Winds came, it stood. Winds, storm, it stood. But the man that built his house upon the sand, when the winds come, it fell. And great was the fall of it. Father, I preached it. I've done what you put in my heart early this morning before daylight. And God, throughout the day, you've spoke to me all day long about this. And Father, tonight, God, I pray that I too will apply this. It's not just for me. It's not just for me to work through. It's not just for them to work through. But God, it's for us to keep our priorities on you. Not to lose hope in the middle of a world that seems like has lost its mind. But God, we don't have to lose ours. Because ours is on you. Our hope is in you. Our strength is in you. Our future is in you. Everything we are, God, is in you. And Lord, I pray, God, at this attempt to preach this message tonight, God, will fall on good ground. And God, that if somebody heard this message tonight, God, that they've really not been given a priority to their spiritual life, to their very own soul. I pray, Father God, right now, that they'll stand and they'll make a decision. God, I'm going to follow you. It may cost me friendships. It may cost me relationships. It may cost me family members. But Father, I'm following you. I'm putting my trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Shake hands. Love on somebody.